Welcome to our service for Passion Sunday, the fifth Sunday of Lent. In time past, and for some still today, not everyone could get to church on Good Friday to commemorate the crucifixion. So the church allocates this Sunday, 2 weeks before Easter, for us to reflect on the sacrifice and suffering of Christ. Passion, in this context, retains its original meaning of suffering. This is the day when we commemorate the suffering of our Lord. Time of penitence today, we begin with words from Psalm 126, the psalm set for today. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses in the Negeb. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Lord God, we have sinned against you and done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May Almighty God have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And a collect for Passion Sunday. Most merciful God, who by the death and resurrection of your Son Jesus Christ delivered and saved the world, grant that by faith in him who suffered on the cross, we may triumph in the power of his victory. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah 43:16-21. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, or consider things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honour me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
New Testament reading is from John chapter 12. Beginning at the first verse. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he'd raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why is this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
See if you recognise the introduction to this next hymn. Suffered the different, he hung and suffered.
May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Throughout Lent, in one of our fellowship groups, we've been following a course of study in John's Gospel. The course has been specially designed for this year, which has been designated the Year of Biblical Literacy, and so it's a little more technical than is normal in fellowship groups. The most noticeable thing about the Gospel of John is how different it is from the other three Gospels. Matthew, Mark and Luke are much more similar to each other. In our group, we've considered a number of the things that are only in John. The I Am sayings of Jesus, for example, and the miraculous sign narratives like the wedding at Cana and the raising of Lazarus. But there are also things that are in all the synoptics but not in John. The parables, most obviously, and indeed the name of John himself. He's just referred to in John as the beloved disciple, or the disciple whom Jesus loved. Two other things, which are in the synoptics, but which the beloved disciple has omitted from his gospel, are the sacraments. He gives us no account of the baptism of Jesus, and he doesn't give us the story of the institution of the Last Supper, the place where Jesus says, "This is my body, this is my blood," and tells them to do this in remembrance of me. John doesn't have that. He has instead this story from our gospel reading today, the story of a supper at Bethany, just a little earlier, 6 days before the Passover. Unlike the synoptic accounts of the Last Supper, the disciples of Jesus are not mentioned in this story, except, in fact, for Judas. The three other people who are mentioned, besides Jesus himself, are a brother and two sisters, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. The meal is in their house. Lazarus is not mentioned as a disciple, but Jesus, talking to the other disciples a little earlier, calls him our friend. Perhaps they often enjoyed the family's hospitality when they came down to Jerusalem from Galilee. It was at Lazarus's grave, of course, that Jesus had wept. "See how he loved him," says the watching crowd. Now Lazarus, risen from his grave and made alive again by Jesus, hosts this supper and sits with Jesus at the table. Martha waits upon them all. But Mary, in a story which seems to have been already famous long before John's Gospel was written, pours costly ointment on Jesus' feet and wipes it away with her hair. There's a puzzle about the ointment, though. Why does Mary decide to use it now? She had bought it, Jesus says, for his burial. Everyone around Jesus at this time has a sense of foreboding about this last trip to Jerusalem. "Let's go with him," says Thomas, called the twin, "so that we can die with him." Even so, why should Mary, who has bought the expensive ointment for that event, decide to use it now? We can imagine reasons, of course. We can say how much she loved him, and she may just have wanted to do something beautiful for him, one last thing before she loses him forever. But John's purpose is a deeper one. John is the gospel in which time is relativized in the presence of Jesus. From the very first, he makes clear that Jesus, the Word of God now incarnate, has been from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. Before Abraham was, says Jesus, again only in John, before Abraham was, I am. In the story of the death and resurrection of Lazarus, the death and resurrection of Jesus have been prefigured beforehand, somehow out of time. And now, in Lazarus' presence, indeed in Lazarus' house, the tableau at Bethany is one in which time has been relativized again. Mary pours out her heart in an act of worship which is again ahead of time, anointing Jesus for burial before he has died. Her costly sacrificial offering, prefiguring the offering which Jesus will make of himself upon the cross. The meal at Bethany stands in John instead of the account of the Last Supper. And as the account of the Last Supper points forward to the church, do this whenever you eat it, says Jesus, in remembrance of me, so it is at Bethany. This is a picture of the future, of what the church will be. First, the church will be the community where the crucified and risen Jesus is always present and calls his followers to know the new life of the resurrection as they follow in the way of the cross. Jesus himself and Lazarus in this tableau figure the cross and resurrection for us. The church will clearly be a community of love, where Mary's adoration is expressed in her anointing of Jesus' feet. It will be a community of service, where the ever busy Martha waits at table on her Lord and on the others. Martha served, we read, and that's all. It's only two words. But if you think about it, they're two words that didn't need to be there. John just reminds us that we are servants of the Lord. But Jesus had said, I do not call you servants any longer, I call you friends. What a friend we have in Jesus, we sometimes sing. And the church will also be a community, a communion of friends. As Martha serves, her brother Lazarus sits at table with the man who calls him our friend, the man the Pharisees called the friend of sinners. My old tutor, Arthur Moore, would say of the communion, this is still the charmed circle, the place where Jesus meets at table with his sinner friends. But the picture of the church in John is saved from romanticism, of course, by the intrusion of the figure of Judas, the only one of the disciples named, as we've said already. In the church's future, as John, of course, already knows, there, among the beloved friends and servants of the Lord, there will always be, there are still, false and fallible disciples. But Judas is used here by John to introduce another crucial feature of what the church will be, or at least should be. The church will be a community for the poor. You always have the poor with you, says Jesus. But above all, the tableau tells us that the church will be a community of worship. Cost and sacrifice are at the heart of the idea of worship in the Jewish faith. And Mary's explicitly expensive anointing is an act of worship, and the fragrance of it fills the whole house. The church's central act of worship will be, like Mary's, a commemoration of the sacrifice of Jesus' death. Perhaps in the communion too, as Catholics argue, Jesus is really present, time is changed again. There are many ways, in truth, in which the Lord is present, will be present, has been present in his church. In the coming together of Mary, Martha and Lazarus, or of any two or three who gather in his name, there he is in the midst of them, at the Lord's Supper, in the gifts of the Spirit, or in the poor who are always with us, whom to serve is to serve the Lord himself. In all these, Jesus is really present in the service, in the friendship, and in the love and worship of his people. Lo, I am with you always, he says. I am with you always, to the end of time. Amen. Now it's time for our prayers. Our intercessions today will be led by David. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen. Entad ar anoedin y nefaidd, sanctaeddi ydy enw, deled y dernas gwneled y wychlis, megis yn yne fechli ar y ddear hefyd. Dyna ni heddiw ein barab einyddiol, y maddau ni ein dyledion fel y maddewn un ein dyledwyr, ac nac arwain ni y brofedigaeth eithaf gwared ni rhag drwg, Canu sydd o ti o'r dernas, o'r gallu a'r gogoniant, yn oes oes oedd. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, our minds are constantly overwhelmed with the tragedy in Ukraine. We pray that there will be a peaceful resolution to the conflict and that the innocent lives of the children, the women and the men of Ukraine will be spared further agonies. We pray that those fleeing the bloodshed will be welcomed with open arms, not least in our own country. Lord, in thy mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, Lord, that you will guide and direct all who govern the nations of the world, especially at this time of international tension. The vast majority of the world's people just want a quiet and peaceful life. Please, Lord, help those in power to see the righteous way forward towards peace and harmony among all nations. Lord, in thy mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for your church throughout the whole world, and especially in conflict eras such as Ukraine and Russia. We pray that you will protect the Ukrainian church and give the leaders of the Russian church the courage to speak out against war. We also pray for your church in areas of the world where Christians are being persecuted. Give these Christians courage to practice their peaceful religion and encourage the worldwide Christian family to support their brothers and sisters in their hour of suffering. Lord, in thy mercy, hear our prayer. We continue to pray for all the victims of the COVID pandemic in all countries of the world. We pray especially for our own country, which is still experiencing high numbers of deaths. We pray for all our essential workers, the NHS staff who look after us when we're ill, and also the police who maintain our society and stop it descending into anarchy. We pray for our teachers who educate our children, our council workers who ensure society functions, and also we pray for all public workers whose work benefits us all and who often are not well paid. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We commend to your fatherly goodness all those who are suffering bodily or mental distress. We especially remember those known to us, not just our own family or friends, but also our church family. And we pray that it may please you to relieve their suffering and give them a happy outcome from all their troubles. Lord, in thy mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all those departed this life. Let light perpetual shine upon them and grant them everlasting life. We especially remember members of our own family who have passed away from this mortal life. We also remember the members of our church family who have also passed away. Lord, in thy mercy, hear our prayer. Finally, we bless thy holy name for the grace and virtue declared in all thy saints. Grant that we, rejoicing in their fellowship and following their good examples, may at thy Son's appearing be set with them on his right hand and be made partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Hear us, O heavenly Father, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our only mediator and advocate, to whom with thee and the Holy Spirit be all honour and glory, world without end. Amen.
Sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah.
And finally, the Lenten blessing. Christ give you grace to grow in holiness, to deny yourself, daily to take up your cross and follow him. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you, this day and always. Amen.